If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, we're finishing up this passage of Scripture. In Acts chapter 7, we had one verse about this man called Saul of Tarsus. In Acts chapter 8, we had two verses. I don't think I'm hitting it. Is this a loose wire maybe or something? Anyway, if there's popping, that's just something loose connection. And so in Acts chapter 8, there's two verses that deal with Saul of Tarsus. Now we come to Acts chapter 9, there's 31 verses that deal with Saul of Tarsus. And now we start at verse 32 and go through the end of the chapter. And in the rest of this book, rest of this chapter 9, we have two themes. One, we have the power of Jesus to heal, because we have a man named Aeneas who is sick of the palsy. And Peter is used of God to bring him back to total health. And then we have another one who's sick and she dies. And her name is Tabitha. You and I sometimes call her Dorcas because she was given the name. And she is dead. And so they send for Peter and they come back and Peter prays and she comes back to life again. So in Acts chapter 9, we see two great miracles that take place. We see a sick man get well. We see a dead lady come back to life. Praise God, he's still in the healing business. You say, but is he still in the life-giving business? Yes, he is. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me shall never die. Though our physical body passes away, we don't die. We don't cease to exist. We go immediately. In fact, for a believer, that's when life really starts. It's when we get out of this shell and we have our redeemed body. So let's look at Acts chapter 9. If you will, let's stand again as we read. And we'll start at verse 32 and we'll read down through the end of the chapter. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all the quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years, and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt in Lydda, and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman, which was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did, and it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And for as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, and knelt down and prayed, and turned to the body and said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. And let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, and you may be seated afterwards. Father, we thank you for this time we have this evening to commemorate the Lord's Supper. We're so grateful for it. We're so thankful for it. But Father, we ask that you'd help us now once again as we look to the preaching of your word. And let your word be exalted. The Bible says you have exalted your word above all your name. Heavenly Father, help us to see how precious it is. And let us learn the lessons you have for us this evening through your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So we have two subjects that take place here, or two occurrences. One, we have the healing of this man named Aeneas. And then secondly, we have a woman named Tabitha, who is given a surname of Dorcas, or which is interpreted as Dorcas. And she is sick, but she's not healed of her sickness. She dies of her sickness. But then Peter is sent forth, and he comes, and he has a special word of prayer for her. And God does miraculous things, and she comes to life. It's so amazing the way the Word of God says it. He comes, he prays, he says, "Tabitha, arise." And she opens up her eyes, and then she sets up. And then Peter, gentleman that he is, offers his hand. And she takes his hand, and he lifts her up, and he says, "Let me go introduce you to all the people that have come to mourn your death." Wouldn't that be an amazing funeral? I mean, you come and, you know, you're heartbroken and there's your loved one in the casket and everybody's there. And then all of a sudden he just raises up and says, "Oh, I'm so glad you showed up." I'm just, that'd empty the building quick, wouldn't it? I tell you, that sure would. But amazing enough, they were filled with joy and wonder and amazement. Let's look at these passages of Scripture. First, we have the power of Jesus to heal in verses 32 through 35. We have the discovery of a need. In verses 32 and verse 33, the Bible tells us this was a man that was hopeless. He was sick in bed for 8 years. Now, you understand, you know, back then it was so much different than being in the hospital today. If you're in the hospital today, and by the way, this was a helpless man too, because he had the disease of palsy. Now, palsy is a word that means paralysis. So the reason he was in bed, because he was paralyzed. So we don't know if it was a stroke, we don't know if it was nerve damage, we don't know if it was an accident, we just know he was sick of the palsy. He was paralyzed. And so he was in bed for 8 years. Now, if you are in a coma or something like that and you're in a hospital, you know, they're going to work with you. Because they know that even though you're in a coma, if you have a chance to come out of that coma, they've got to work with your muscles. Or atrophy sets in, and then all of a sudden your muscles are locked. And even if you were to wake up out of the coma after many weeks, if you have not been moved, if you have not been exercised, if they've not worked with you. You know, nowadays some of you have been in the hospital and they'll put these boots made of air on your feet. And they'll get tight and then they'll loosen up and tight. And sometimes on your legs. And so they're forcing circulation throughout your body. Because you're not well enough to be able to get up and walk up and down the hall and do all of those things. But see, in those days, they didn't do any of those things. And when you lie in a bed for 8 years paralyzed, your muscles have atrophy and your muscles just wither away. I mean, your legs are sticks. They're bones with flesh. The muscles deteriorated, some of the ligaments, they're just useless pieces, and they're as stiff as wood. You can't bend them, you can't move them, you can't. This was a man who was frozen in a body that was as good as dead. That's what palsy was. But Peter comes to him. And we see the miracle-working power of Christ. And let's never forget that Jesus Christ can do anything at any time He wants to. He's God. I wish He healed everyone I prayed for. But He heals everyone He wants healed. I believe as a believer, either you're going to be healed or God's going to give you grace. And either one is going to be a testimony to Jesus Christ. Some of the greatest Christians I know have never been healed, but they suffered gracefully. They never got bitter. They always kept a sweet spirit. And you'd see him wince in pain. I think of my dear friend, Dr. Jack Treber. His left hand is, or his right hand is so swollen, his fingers are big because of arthritis. And now he can only shake hands with his left hand. It's not that his left hand doesn't hurt. It hurts so much less than his right hand. But he'll shake hands with his left hand even though it hurts. But when he preaches, you wouldn't think he's hurting at all. Because he gives it everything he has. But he'll tell you, he'll tell me, he said, Brother Mutcher, once I get done preaching, I'm done. I've given it everything I have to give. And I will ache from my head to my toes. He's got arthritis in all his joints, rheumatoid arthritis. But you know the amazing thing is, he's the most graceful person. You can see him walk, you know, sometimes get up, and it takes a while to move. And how you doing, Dr. Tree? Oh, great, wonderful, praise the Lord, doing great. He'll say, oh, good to see you, God bless you, love you. You feeling good? Oh, feeling fine. That's all I ever hear from him. I'm doing great. Always on top side. Now, do I believe him? No. I don't believe him. I believe he's hurting. But he's decided he's not going to let his physical body make him a bitter Christian. He's going to exercise the grace of God. So I believe God's either going to heal you or God's going to give you grace. We have the discovery of a need. He was hopeless. He was helpless. Then we have the declaration of a miracle in verse 34. Peter says, in the name of Jesus. Boy, it got louder here. In the name of Jesus, he was instantly healed. He says, arise. And that's what he did. He arose out of his bed. He's been in that bed for 8 years. But he jumps up. And I like what Peter says. Make up your bed. Man, I'm thinking my mama's already in heaven. Yeah, I got to make up my bed? What? Y'all be glad to know I made up the bed this morning. But he got up, and before he got to run off and run through the neighborhood telling everybody, Peter says, make up your bed. Teenagers, remember that. That's scripture. That is scriptural admonition. Make up your bed. I'm sure all these teenagers do all that. The declaration of the miracle. And then the decision of the community. In verse 35, notice there. And all that dwelt in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. First of all, they saw that he was healed. This was the man who was sick for 8 years. This was the man that was prone in a bed. He was lying there paralyzed. And yet now he's walking, he's talking, he's running, he's well, he's whole. Everyone saw it. But then the most important thing happened. Not just that one man got healed, but many turned to the Lord. They got saved. Remember that every healing is for God's glory. Every healing is for God's glory. Let's not take for granted when God does something for us. He does it for His glory. When God gives you a better job, He does it for His glory. Not just so you have a more income. Not just so you can do more things. He's just trying to bless you so that you might exalt Him. You might praise Him. You might thank Him. It's all for His glory, not for ours. The power of Jesus to heal, verses 32 through 35. Now in verse 36 through the end of the chapter, verse 43, we have the legacy of a lady. The legacy of a lady. This is an amazing individual. Now, you think about it. There had to be a lot of ladies who have passed away. I mean, isn't it a common thing that every day someone is born and every day some people die? That's just the natural ebb and flow of life. I mean, quite frankly, one of these days it'd be my time. And I hope you'll come and shed a tear. You know what? James is saying, I ain't going to. Well, thank you, son. Appreciate that. But I don't want a somber thing. I want you to be rejoicing. I want you to be happy. But I won't mind if just maybe one tear comes down there and say, he was such a good pastor. I'm going to miss him. He's almost as good as the one we have now. I'm sure that's how it'll be. It's just too bad he went senile before he went to heaven, wasn't it? It was just crazy. Legacy of a lady. What a sweet, kind, godly lady. A lady of testimony, a lady of works, a lady that was a blessing to all. In fact, as they gathered together after her death, they said, oh, look what she did for me, and look what she made for me, and let me show you this. And you got to understand, there weren't department stores back then. It wasn't like you go down into Walmart, you know, and get everything. You had to make it. And if you didn't have those skills, then somebody had to make that. And she had these skills, and she was constantly trying to provide for her neighbors, constantly provide for other Christians. And because of that, a great crowd of people had gathered up and saying, look what Lydia, what Tabitha did for me. Look what Dorcas did for me. The legacy of a lady. Oh, that we could live our life to leave a legacy to our children, to our grandchildren, to our church family. God has blessed us over the years here at Grandview Baptist with some people who are in heaven who left a legacy. Oh, they weren't rich, but they were rich in love. They were rich in kindness. They were rich in godliness. I think of Arlene Hauser, who's in heaven. What a sweet, godly lady. I think of Sally Dillman. Many of you wouldn't know her, but Sally was in the Carpenter's Hall and then in our first building and gave sacrificially so we could build that first building. What a godly lady. And she's in heaven. What a sweet lady she was. I think of all the different people. But wait a minute. I think a lot of our seniors who are right now in this church that are such godly people. Let me just say, when you go to heaven, we're going to miss you because you're leaving a legacy. You're not like Bill Gates and going to leave a foundation. I understand that. But you love people and you're so kind. And you're so thoughtful. And you're so faithful. Could I look to those who are my age and younger? It would do us well to look to our seniors and follow their pattern. Because here at Grandview Baptist Church, God has given us some giants of the faith. Giants of the faith. And I could just go through the auditorium and just point them out. Just point them out. Giants of the faith. People who love God sincerely. And let me just say, that's the way I want to go out. Loving God sincerely. The legacy of a lady. We have the lady's name was Tabitha in verse 36. She was full of good works. She was full of charity. Now, charity is love. It's one thing for a person to be good at crafts. But it's another thing for a person to be full of love and they use their craft as a ministry. They're full of love. She was not just a good weaver. She was the kind that once she wove it, she came and gave you a big hug and said, I made this for you. I thought about your babies. I thought about your children. And I know it gets cold in the winter and I wanted you to have this. I was thinking about you. She expressed her love to people. Then we have the loss of Tabitha in verse 37 and 39. And there was cause for action. In verse 37, it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. And when they had washed, they laid her in a upper chamber. They prepared her body. But notice in verse 38, and for as much as Lydda was nigh unto Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring that he would not delay to come to them. In other words, there was such weeping, there was such a sense of loss, that they said, go get Peter. We need somebody who can comfort us. Our widows are crying. Our Christians are suffering. They're feeling such loss. This was one of the matriarchs of the church. This is one of those godly ladies who always greets everybody, always gives the other ladies a hug, always says kind words to the teenager, always tries to encourage the children. She's the one that maybe gives out a piece of candy to the little children. She's the one who's made us gifts and has showed such love to us. And we're just grieving and we're just hurting. And somebody said, could you go get Peter? We need a man of God to comfort us. They were not thinking that Peter was going to heal her. They were not thinking that Peter was going to bring her back to life. They just needed someone to say some kind words and say, fellas, listen, it's going to be okay. We're going to see them again in heaven. It's going to be fine. They're in Jesus' arms right now. They were looking for comfort. So they send for Peter. He comes. And when he gathers together, the Bible says in verse 39, and when Peter arose and went with them, when he was come, they brought him unto the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. There was cause for action. There was cause for sorrow. There was cause for remembrance. Look what she's done. What will they say about you when you're gone? She was my Sunday school teacher. He always came and shook my hand and smiled. He was always so kind. He was such a godly example. She was just the sweetest lady. Wouldn't it be nice if we left a testimony where people actually had good things to say about us? Or would you like to pass away? And they come and say, well, now his wife can have rest. Yeah, but I don't know about you, but I've said that a few times. Not in a funeral. But I've said that to myself. He was a Christian, but he was an ornery critter, and she's going to have some peace. Or maybe the wife passes away and you think, well, I think she's in heaven. I think. You see, we're not always so kind. That's why I said last week, I want us to grow old gracefully, kind and gracious and loving. That when we go out, somebody will say, I bet his wife really misses him. He was such a good man. Oh, I'm going to pray for her husband, because now that she's in heaven, he's going to miss her. She was such a sweet lady. She was such a kind soul. Oh, it's just going to take a while to get used to church without their face sitting here. Such sweet lady. The legacy of a lady. And they come one by one and say, Peter, look what she did. Look how she loved my family. Look how she loved us. Let that be a lesson to all of us. Not that we go into making crafts to give away. But let's live our lives that we express love to people around us. There ought to be a little bit of a missing us when our time has come and we're gone. Then we have the Lord of Tabitha in verses 40 through 42. Peter comes in verse 40, but Peter put them forth and kneeling down prayed. And turning him to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Now here's what's interesting. Peter sat down and he started praying. Now, we don't see in Scripture that everywhere Peter went, he started raising the dead. Or else, Peter has a full-time business for the rest of his life. Amen? I mean, if that happened on a regular basis, I'm calling Peter when my father passes away and my mother passes away or one of my loved ones. I'm going to go send for Peter and come back and say, Peter, bring him back to life. No, it wasn't a regular thing. But here's what happened. He's praying. And somehow in his spirit, God just lets him know. Peter, speak to her. I'm not through with her, Peter. I'm not through with her. Speak to her. Well, Lord, she's dead. And that's why I'm here. Speak to her, Peter. Just speak to her. He's praying. He doesn't say, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask you to rise. That's what he said to Aeneas. In the name of Jesus, arise. But he's praying for her. And in his spirit, God says, speak to her. Okay, Lord, I'm going to be obedient. Tabitha? Get up. And she gets up. I believe that God spoke to his spirit and let him know that she was not through yet in this life. You know, I don't want to live one day longer than when God's through with me. When God's through with me, I want to go to heaven. I want to serve God as long as I have breath. But when I can't serve him anymore, I hope to be in heaven. But wait a minute, that's all up to him. That's his doing. My job is just to live every day as it comes. But her life was not through. God says, I'm going to keep using this lady. I'm going to keep using this woman. And so God says to Peter, speak to her. I'm reading this between the lines, but he speaks to her and he says, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up and he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when she had called the saints and the widows, presented her alive. Wow. Isn't that an amazing thing? And you know what? Peter didn't ask her to make her bed. Because she knew she'd done that all her life. And Aeneas said, make your bed. The Bible says that it was known throughout all Joppa and many believed in the Lord. Again, a great miracle, but all for the purpose of gathering souls for the kingdom. Gathering souls for the kingdom. And that's what it's all about, gathering souls for the kingdom. Let our testimony be used for Jesus Christ to gather souls for the kingdom. Be a testimony to those around us of Jesus Christ and how wonderful he is. And that's the two miracles that take place as we conclude Acts chapter 9.